You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Thank you, Dom and Susie. Really appreciate your love for the loss. And as a community, let's continue to encourage them, pray with them. And if you have felt moved to participate and support them, please find them post-service and find out how you can best support them. My name is Bin, and I'm one of the pastors and leaders at Sun Life Church. I have the joy, and we're in the middle of Missions Month, so August. This whole month of August, we're going to be teaching on mission, having missionaries present, just like we just heard just then. Now, last week, David, our brother, kick-started the missions series by looking into Matthew 28. Now, if you know, Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. Now, it's the final command of Jesus before he left. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Now, the verse is also on the screen behind me. Now, let me just read you again the Great Commission from verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, a better translation of that particular passage goes a bit like this. As you go about doing your thing. You see, the language here that we don't see in the English is the language of movement and mission. And so what Jesus is saying is that as you go about your life, make followers of me. The command here is not an activity. As sometimes when we read the Bible, we think it's something that we've got to plan and execute. So in other words, go on a mission trip and make disciples. We think it's an activity. That's not the intent of the Great Commission. Or go and organize an evangelistic event in your church and make disciples. That's not the intent. Or go and invite someone to the church service or the Alpha course. That's not the intent of the Great Commission. What Jesus is saying is this. As you go about doing your thing as a student, as a mother, as a doctor, as a builder, as a lawyer, as you live out your life, take every opportunity to make followers of me. That's the intent of the Great Commission. And in that particular passage there, the Greek word make disciples, which I'm not going to try to pronounce, is the imperative verb, which means that if you have made the decision to follow Jesus, I don't know what is the percentage here, but let's say 95% of you in this auditorium have made the decision to follow Jesus. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Then this particular command is not optional. And so what Jesus is saying is that every time you go about doing your thing, whatever it may be, meeting people at the shopping center, dropping your kids, school, every time there's movement, every time there's motion in the body, which means, by the way, as a Christian, you can't be lazy. You can't be lazy because you're always required to be moving. And as you are moving about doing your thing, take every opportunity to make followers of me. And that's hard because honestly, we live in a world where we're so busy, and sometimes introducing people to Jesus is the last thing on our mind. But you come to verses like these and you go, wait a minute, I've got to do this. I've got to live this out. Not because by doing this, God would love me more. No, no, because I'm so loved by God that I want to obey him and I want to represent him well. Therefore, every opportunity I'm out there in this world as I'm moving about, I'm going to do my best to point people to Jesus and make followers of him. And so in my talk today, I'm actually not expounding this. We'll be looking into Philippians, but
I want to tell you just two things about being missional. Okay, number one is that missional living is challenging. It's not easy. I want to be brutally honest with you that it's not easy. But number two, missional living is so satisfying. And so to do that, we'll be diving deeper into Philippians chapter 2. If you have the church app, you may get up the church app or open up your Bible to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let me read the Word of God before I give you some observation. Here's the Word of God. In your relationship with one another, have the same mind. God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he, that's Jesus, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him, that's Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, this is Paul. He's writing to the Philippians. They're Christians in Greece, Philippi. And this particular passage in your Bible, if you have a Bible, you notice it's probably in italic or there's a lot of indentation. Okay, it's actually known as the Carmen Christi, which is the hymn of Christ. It's a song. All right, so Paul is incorporating a hymn as he writes this letter to the Philippians. And if you notice carefully, in the first half of the hymn, we see the humiliation of Christ. Christ is humbled, he's lowered. And in the second half of the hymn, we see the exaltation of Christ. He's glorified, he's lifted up. And so what I want to do is I want to look closer to the passage and tell you why being missional is so challenging, but also being missional is so satisfying. So let me pray and we'll work the text together. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray now that you help me as I teach your word. I do pray that there's clarity, and I do pray, Lord, that you would just speak mightily through me as I expound, expose the beauty of your word. Would you help us all right now? May we lean into the preaching of your word. This is a sacred moment. So, Lord, we want to slow down, put things aside, and just hear what you have to say to us. And as always, may we not be just hearers, but also doers of your word. Help us. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. If you look carefully to the text, look in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6, 7. Now, look here. Let me read the word of God. Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You notice what the text is saying? That Jesus in the very nature God. In other words, the text is saying that Jesus is the essence of God. This is God. The second person that is the Son of God humbled himself, gave up his divinity to take on humanity. In other words, God became flesh. We as Christians, when we worship Jesus, we're not just worshiping a Jewish rabbi, we're worshiping God who took on flesh. And right here, Paul is reminding the Philippians that this second person, God, he emptied himself. Now look in verse 8. And being formed in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself to become obedient to death on a cross. So he humbled himself. He gave up his divinity. He made himself one of us. God to man. King to servant. From see, all other religions, right? Listen carefully. They worship a God who would never give up his or her divine position to take on flesh. The Christian faith is very unique. We worship a God who gave up every upside down faith, right? God in his high position became low so that we in our low position may become high. It's a reversal theology. God died for our sin so that we may live. God did everything for us. We don't have to do anything. God took our sin. We take his righteousness. That's why it's the good news. That's why in the Christian faith, God, he did it all for you and for me. There's nothing that God needs you to do for your salvation. He did it all. That's why it's great. That's why it's the good news. Now, the Apostle Paul, he says this to the Corinthians in chapter 2, verses 5, 21. God made him, the him here is Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Not for him, for us. So that in him, that's in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. That's the mission of Jesus. He humbled himself, took on flesh, took on sin, so that we would take on his righteousness. Now, this is what Jesus had to say about himself to the disciples, and we find in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man, he's referring to himself. By the way, when you see Son of Man, you're thinking what? Daniel chapter 7, right? The Son of Man coming down in full glory on the cloud. So he's actually referencing himself in Daniel, did not come to serve. We don't worship a God where we are serving him, appeasing him, doing things so that he's happy with us and then he may bless us. We don't worship a God. We worship God who came to serve us. You see? He came to serve us. And he gave up his life as a ransom for many. The mission of Jesus is to come, humble himself, serve us, die for us, and if we are willing to place our trust in him, wow, we enter into his kingdom. We belong to his family. And that, my friends, good news, the gospel. So when I share the gospel message to some of my friends who don't know Jesus, they say, well, it's easy for Jesus because, you know, in their mind, well, Jesus is some superhuman. And if they do agree that Jesus is God, they might say, well, it's easy because God easily can just swap place with us. But there's a problem with that theology. What's the problem? What is it? Jesus is full God, but also what? Full man. That's the problem. See, the Bible tells us that Jesus is 100% and fully God, but he's also 100% and fully man. He's not half God, half man. He's not like 50% God, he's 100% God, but he's also 100% man. What's the implication? If he's 100% man, he will go through all the emotions that we go through, which means it's not a walk in a park for him when he made the decision to humble himself. Do you understand that, right? It's not easy. I'll put it like this. Who has ever given up their business class seat for someone else? Hands up, anyone? See, one person. Wonderful. They take your seat up in business class. You take their cattle seat at the very back, seat 45K, right? And they're at 5A. That's hard, eh? We laugh about it because we'll never do the swap. Because you're thinking you're on a 6-hour flight, and now you're at the back eating spaghetti in a plastic tray and sipping a 200ml cheap bottle of Shiraz, while they're up there having a full-blown 5-course meal, all the nice wines that they can ever drink. It's not fair. We'll never swap, right? Because the emotion will be, no, I want to be up there. You see, that's the same. You see, it would have been very hard for him. The decision to take on humanity, listen carefully, wasn't a plan B. It wasn't that God said, oh, Adam and Eve messed up, so then now Jesus, you got to go and fix it. No. This decision was a plan A, which took place in eternity past before the creation of the world, which means the second person, listen carefully, said to the first person, I will do this. Tough. And the Bible records that throughout the ministry of Jesus, it wasn't a walk in the park. So we must never think that this was an easy decision for Jesus to be on mission. Even that conversation, right, at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is speaking to the Father. Remember the conversation just before the arrest of Jesus? He says, well, Father, do I must really have to go through this? This is not easy. Father, is there another way around this? And he says, yes, Father, we agreed with this conversation in eternity past. Your will be done. Your will and not my will. You see, it was hard. And let's not forget, being hung on a cross, dying a slow, painful death, and all your good friends, they're bolted. They're denying you. They don't want anything to do with you. That would have really cut Jesus. That would really hurt Jesus. Being 100% man, the emotion running through his mind saying, why am I doing this? There's no appreciation. Why must I keep doing this? It's so hard being missional. But praise God, he experienced the hardship. If you and I experience the hardship of being missional, we have a God who understands and sympathizes with us. We have a God who says, yeah, I know it's hard. Sacrifice that part of your life. I know it's hard. I resonate with you. That's why the author of Hebrews would write these words in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we. The moments where you say, well, I don't want to do this. I'm tempted not to be on mission. I don't want to do that work of yours. It's just too hard. Well, we have a Jesus, a high priest, who knows that it's hard to be missional. It is challenging. He understands and he sympathizes with us. Because honestly, let's be honest here. None of us here, we wake up in the morning when the alarm goes off and say, wow, thank you, Lord, for this great day. I can't wait to see who you would send my way so that I can share them the gospel. None of us wakes up thinking like that. But the Great Commission tells us that when you go on your way, wherever God placed you, take every opportunity to make followers of Christ. And I think that the average Christian, the average Aussie Christian, we find sharing our faith so challenging. Is that right? It's so difficult. I'm not going to stand up here saying, yeah, I find it easy. I'm not going to stand up here saying that it's a walk in the park. I struggle as well too. And we live in a culture where our faith is a personal thing. It's personal, you know, and we don't want to impose our belief on anyone else. Is that right? Because culture today says this, that we should have tolerance and faith is a private thing and we should give them the space to be them. What's that saying? You know, you do you and I'll do me. You know, we don't want to, you know, push our beliefs, our conviction upon anyone because we are taught at a young age, we leave politics and religion away from school and workplaces. Yeah? Because bringing Jesus into the workplace, it's unprofessional. Faith is a private thing. It's something that you do with God and maybe publicly with those at church on Sunday. But I wonder whether the root is this whole cancer culture that we are part of today, where we're afraid that as soon as we share people about Jesus, we may lose our friendship. We may even lose our job. Therefore, we kind of keep it quiet. If you remember back in 2022, the Essendon Football Club, which is an AFL club, appointed Andrew Thorburn as their CEO. Now, he was only CEO for 24 hours. He was appointed CEO, and the next day he had to resign. And the reason why he had to resign was that the media found out that Andrew was part of a church. And Andrew was on the board. He was the chairman of this church that had a certain views when it came to relationship. The traditional Christian view that marriage is between a man and a woman, and homosexuality is not part of God's design. Now, the Essendon Football Club realized that, well, this guy here is on the board of this church, he's our CEO, and they didn't like that. And they said, you have to make a decision. You're either our CEO and not the chairman of this church, but you can't be both. And they kind of forced Andrew to resign 24 hours after his appointment as CEO. See, it's hard, hey? It's hard being missional. It's not a walk in the park. And I think about our church here. Let's think about our church. Let's just say someone new walks into the building here and you find out that they don't know Jesus and they want to explore the Christian faith. And at that point, listen, at that point, you have to make a split-second decision. Do I help this person? But I know that deep down, oh, it's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be challenging. It may be costly. It's going to cost you your time to be missional to help this person encounter Jesus. Because you have to spend time with them, catching up with them, and you got to ask yourself the question, can I handle, you know, losing a lot of that time just to help someone meet Jesus? It's not easy. Or you may realize that maybe when I find out more about this person here as I dig a bit deeper into their situation, and they've got all these problems, oh dear, what happens if their problems becomes my problem? You know, and you go, well, I'm just struggling myself. You know, I don't have the mental capacity to carry someone else's problem. I don't think I want to do that. You see how it's hard to be missional? Or sometimes we know that being missional is going to cost us our finances. Oh, you know, getting that person over for a meal is going to cost me my money. Buying them a coffee will cost me money. If I have to buy them a new Bible, whatever, it's going to cost me money. It's very hard. Because you're wrestling with all these thoughts that, well, can I do this? Should I put myself in this position? Because right now, my relationship with God is good. I just cannot have anyone else affecting my walk with God. But the problem is that we come to a passage like Matthew 28, where we are called to make disciples wherever God sends us. It reminds me of the Good Samaritan. You know that parable? The Good Samaritan, how, you know, that Samaritan found that particular stranger beaten on the side of the street. He helped that person, and it cost him a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money. He even said to the hotel owner, whatever's owing you, let me pay it back when I come back on my trip. And I think of my missionaries in this church here. I am so grateful that God has given a lot of missionaries in this church. You encourage me a lot. People like Mary Ann and her daughters, and Kate and Micah, and Dom and Susie, Joe and Louise, and many more. You know that being obedient to God is costly. And you know it's challenging. And I thank God for you, because it reminds me as your pastor that everywhere God sends me, no matter how challenging it is, I have to do my best to make followers of Christ. You know, we sponsor Quan. I forgot to put a photo of him on the screen. He's in Vietnam. We've supported him now for nearly, 15 years. Since the birth of Sun Life Church, we've supported Quan, him and his wife and children. He's a trained medical doctor. However, heard the voice of God, gave that up to become a missionary amongst the university students. I know that the group from Sun Life Church that's going into Vietnam later on this year for our missions trip will be spending some time with him. But the honest truth is that would have been very costly, very challenging. For being missional is not easy. But the Apostle Paul, he says these words to the Colossians in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Every person, listen carefully, who have made the decision to follow Jesus, who's hearing me right now, every man, every woman, every child, you must live missionally, no matter how challenging it is. That's the word of God. It is hard, but that's the word of God. So why still live missionally? Why still do it when it's so hard? Well, that's my second point. You know why? Because when you're willing to live like that, you will live the most satisfying life that God designs for you. I'll show you why. Go back to the text, Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What do you notice in the text? Can you see the exaltation of Jesus? See, he's exalted to the highest. You see that? His name is above all names. Every knee will bow before him. Every tongue acknowledge his lordship. See, there's pain. There is what you call the suffering and the challenges of being missional. But at the very end, there's joy. You see, the joy for Jesus was found in our salvation and our adoption into God's family. And that's the reason why the author of Hebrews would say this in Hebrews 12. He says this, for the joy set before him, there was a joy set before Jesus that he endured the cross. In other words, he endured being missional, scorning its shame, and he sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You see that? Jesus endured the mission because his focus was not on the present suffering, but a future joy waiting for him. There is a joy for those who choose to live missionally. And I believe that joy is to live the best life. a satisfying life. You know, during the 2008 Beijing Olympic in the marathon race, if you remember China being very hot and humid, during that particular Olympic, it was very, very hot. It was humid. And halfway through the marathon, a lot of the runners began to slow down and limp and even drop out of the marathon because it was just too harsh. However, there was one Kenyan marathon runner by the name of Samuel Wanjiru who kept running. And he ran to the very finishing line, and the reporters later asked him, you know, how did you keep on running when your body is screaming to quit? Right, and these were his words, and this is what he said to the report. He says, I didn't run looking at my feet or the pain in my legs. I ran looking at the finishing line and thinking about the medal waiting for me. You see, Jesus did not quit because he kept looking at our salvation. He knew that our salvation and our adoption would have been his joy, his gift. And I believe that if you and I learn to look and know that the most satisfying life is one that is missional, no matter what challenges you face at work or with your families or at school or in your neighborhood, you can still keep running. That's your design, to find joy and satisfaction as you become missional. Charles Spurgeon, he says this, to be a soul winner is the happiest thing in the world. With every soul you bring to Jesus Christ, you seem to get a new heaven here on earth. You know that, right? Every soul that we draw to him, it's a joy. And that's the reason why we should be missional. We are created, listen, to bear the image of a missional God, a God who sent his Son. And it's only until we live missionally we will be most alive. You know, like why in our church, there's this motto that YWAM use, and it's a common motto. It's not just YWAM, but many other Christian organizations use this as a theme or a mission. It's what? To know God and make. And it's a beautiful mission because I think that's our design. You and I, we are created by God to know him, but it doesn't stop there, and to make others know him. And until you live like that, you ain't living your best life. I think you are, but there's still this deep frustration in your heart. But when you learn to go, well, if the Creator has created me in the image of a sending God, a missional God, that I want to know him more and I want others to know him, then you will live the most satisfying life. Listen, when we are comfortable, our faith idols. It does. When we are missional, our faith comes alive. When you're willing to be missional, you would live that life. I'll give you an example. Young eagles, they're born high up in the cliffs, and the mother eagle would make the nest as soft as possible. So she'll get feathers and fur and leaves, so that the baby chick can be comfortable in the nest. But she only does this for a few weeks. At a certain age, she will remove all the feathers and fur and replace it with pointy sticks. Why? To make the nest uncomfortable. Why? To get the eaglets out of the nest. Why? So it can learn to fly. And sometimes these little eagles, baby eagles, they hold into the nest, and she would actually, and this sounds cruel, but she would actually prick their claws so they would let go. And so as they fall, free falling down off a cliff, sounds pretty horrific and cruel, but it's part of nature, right? Well, guess what happens? The little baby eagles, the eaglets, learns to what? Flap its wing. Try to flap its wing like mad, trying to fly, and it doesn't fly. So what does the mother do? Scoops underneath, catches the eaglet on her wings and carries it back to the nest. To what? To repeat the process. Falls, flap like mad, catches back to the nest. And it does it over and over again until the eagle learns to fly. You see, eagles, listen carefully, they're made to fly. They're made to soar, mighty, majestic, Not the West Coast Eagles kind of kind, but just normal Eagles. Ouch, I'm sorry. I had to do that. You see, the nest, listen carefully, the nest is safe. The nest is safe, but the sky is life. Friends, listen, don't be that Christian where you spend your entire life in the comfy nest of church life. You come here, you hear that message, sing a few songs, serve here and there, just have safe Christian friends. You're made for more than that, my friends. You're made for more than that. When you live missionally, then you realize the true satisfaction that God has designed you. Jesus said these words to his disciples in John 20:21, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." You see, be brave because you are created to live like that. So what does that mean for us as a community here? I'll give you a few things before I wrap up. There's so many new faces here. So many people that you don't know. It's a growing church. I encourage you to go and meet someone that you haven't met before. Be on mission. Get to know them. Get to know their story. Invite them over for a meal. Find out how they're going and how you can encourage them. That's being missional. You know our PM service? We have a PM service at 4:30. It's around 90, maybe 100 people that will gather here, a third of the AM. Why did we create the PM service? So that we can share the gospel to more people. Why don't you be missional? Why don't you and your family who have been coming to the AM, come to the PM? Give the PM 18 months, 24 months. Serve at the PM. Look for people that you don't know in the PM and love them. There are so many new faces in the PM. I actually find it easier, personally, to talk to people and meet new people in the PM than the AM. I struggle in the AM. But in the PM, I'm finding stories of people, trying to love them and encourage them. Why don't you be missional? Some of you, maybe God is doing something in your heart right now. Come and serve the PM. Don't just come and attend the service. Be part of what God is doing here. Be part of the mission in reaching people who are far from Jesus for His glory. Will it be easy? Point one, definitely not. Will it be a walk in a park? No way, it's going to be challenging. I've already told you, point one. Should I do it? Absolutely, yes. Point two, why? It's the most satisfying thing that you ever do. Why? Because you're created in the image of a missional God who sent His Son. Therefore, unless you live like Him, you're not living that life that He intends you to live. So Sun Life Church, think about that. Be missional. Whatever God is doing right now in your heart, be obedient. Whether it is going to meet someone new straight after service. You know, my wife, I don't want to embarrass you, but my wife, we sold something on Marketplace during the week, and we met someone, and then I don't know what Tran was doing, and she started sharing to the person. That person is here with us at worship and her family. How cool is that? I didn't ask my wife if I can use it as a sermon illustration. She's not here. She's in kids' church. But I think we should be missional as we go about doing our things on the golf course, whatever. Share the gospel. Live a life. Be proud that you belong to Jesus. Point people to a Savior who loves them. And in this community here, not everyone here, listen carefully, not everyone here knows Jesus yet. There are people here trying to figure out Jesus. Wonderful. Keep coming. Love it that you're here. May God draw you closer and closer to Him because He loves you so much. He humbled Himself for you. He died for you so that in His death, He gives you this community, this family. The body of Christ belongs to you as well. So keep coming. And my prayer is that you encounter Him one day as your personal Lord and Savior, to the glory of God always and alone. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for reminding us that, yeah, missional living is not easy. It is challenging. But God, you understand, you sympathize with what we go through. And I'm so grateful that we have a God who understands our struggle. But Lord, thank you so much that there's joy. There's joy as we learn to live missionally, Lord. The joy of knowing that it's the best life. It's so satisfying. Lord, so would you help us to keep being missional? I pray for this community that we don't just do church, but we are the church, the body of Christ, as we help each other keep following Jesus, as we make Jesus known to more and more people. Thank you, God. Bless us. Bless our community. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, we're going to just worship. We're going to sing. And as always, what we're going to do is, I just feel this is a good time to pray for some of you. Maybe you're in the journey of following Jesus. Maybe you have a lot of struggles right now. I would love to pray for you. The leaders would love to pray for you so that we can actually invite God into your space to help you. Maybe right now, God is speaking to you and you want to make a declaration, a commitment that, yeah, God, I want to be missional. I know it's hard, but I choose to be missional as of this day. Then I want to pray for you as well to empower you and release you in the areas of missions, okay? So let's stand up. Let's worship God. Let's respond and come forward for prayer. And we're going to keep worshiping God. If that's you, please come forward. We'd love to pray for you. Amen? Let's do that right now. Let's come forward.